Now, another Christmas cook to add to our collection of suggestions of dishes. If you haven't already got your recipes lined up for Christmas today, today's something perhaps a bit more exotic than your normal Christmas fare. How about a Moroccan-inspired Christmas feast? It's not too late, I promise you, to get that prepared. John Gregory Smith is a chef and food writer who specialises in Middle Eastern and North African cuisine. His latest book is called Orange Blossom and Honey. John, Merry Christmas. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me, Hamish.
Explain the connection between you and Middle Eastern and North African cuisine.
I just fell in love with it when I was younger. So I first went to Morocco about 12 years ago with my dad, and we went to a city called Fez, which is this amazing old, very, very ancient city in the north. And I just fell in love with it. I thought the food, the culture, the people were just unlike anything I'd ever seen, and I was sort of hooked from quite a young age.
You're a Brit, by the sound of things.
Can you tell?
What was it that was different about the culture you were sort of immersing yourself in Morocco?
So, I mean, I grew up in London, and where I was sort of going in Morocco was very kind of ancient cities where, you know, everything's still made out of stone, brick, mud, wood, things, you know, there's no cars, horse-drawn carriages, donkeys, that kind of stuff are still prevalent. And it's just, you know, it's a world away from where I live. But the cuisine is deeply rooted in history and tradition and culture and family. And I kind of love all that as well. But more importantly, it just tastes divine. So that's a win as well.
Were there similarities though? I mean, I was reading about your family holding sort of raucous dinner parties, 30 people at the table. Were there points of commonality that you observed as well?
I have quite a raucous family, as you just said, who are wicked, and I can't wait to go and see them all at Christmas. I think we're probably a bit louder than your average sort of Moroccan Middle Eastern family, certainly on the booze front as well. But what those guys do very well is everything's to do with family and culture. So you always eat with your family, you always get together around the table, you always share food and have a chit chat. And that certainly is something that I can equate to quite nicely, but I think we like to take it up a notch.
It always strikes me working and traveling in the Middle East that there's a sort of ceremony about food. The way you come together into a space, the way that a mat is rolled out or something is put on the floor, the way you take your seat, the way you prepare yourself, the way the food is even delivered to you is somehow more sort of process-driven, more ceremonial than what we're used to in the West.
Yeah, I mean, they're really... everything sort of deep rooted in tradition. And for example, I'm sure you've heard of like a tagine, which is one of the kind of classic Moroccan dishes that they do.
It comes in a pot, is baked.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a kind of conical shaped pot. And the point being, you kind of cut your meat and your veg in there and it sort of all stews together. But they have this really lovely tradition. So the head of the family, so the eldest person, sort of doles out the food. So the mum will give everyone bread. And bread is your vehicle for eating, so they don't use knives and forks. So you use your bread to scoop up the food. And then the oldest person will be responsible for like kind of portioning out the food from the tagine. And then the last bit they eat is the meat, because meat is it's very special and it's expensive. So the oldest person will kind of give everybody that the last mouthful will be like a piece of meat. And it's just a really nice tradition, you know, like... I'm not saying that's how you want to eat all the time, but, you know, sometimes that's nicer than just diving straight in. But I kind of like the etiquette behind it. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, sure. So what were talking about Christmas? What was Christmas like for you growing up?
God, I have a massive family. So I've got my mum, dad and my brother and sister, but then I've got like loads of cousins and aunties and uncles, and everyone lives in very close proximity. So it's always like everyone gets together, we spend the whole day together just eating and drinking and giving out presents and generally having a party till the early hours of the morning. I love Christmas. I really, really like it.
And are you introducing Moroccan cuisine to the family at Christmas time?
So Christmas Day, no. If I did, everyone would kill me, because it's like you have your turkey, you have your stuffing, and that's just what you do. But the next day, on Boxing Day, everyone lets me just kind of do what I want. So I'm going to do a bit of like lamb this year, lamb meshoui, which I think is it's a really gorgeous like roasted shoulder of lamb, Moroccan style. So I'm going to see how that goes down.
I mean, in Australia, we think of Morocco as being a very long way away, very exotic. But for you in the UK, I mean, it's become an EasyJet destination.
Yeah.
And so you now see a huge amount of Moroccan restaurants in London, for example. Yeah. But, you know, even in the recipes, in the supermarkets, you see a lot of the types of things that you might see in Moroccan food.
Yeah, I mean, ingredients-wise, we're really lucky we can get most things quite easy. So things like your preserved lemons, which are sort of like pickled lemons that mellow in flavor, or I don't know if you've heard of like rose water or orange blossom. These are like sort of scented waters that you use to sort of perfume desserts. And we're very lucky we can get all that stuff quite easily. And as you say, like it's a hop, skip and a jump. I think it's like 4 hours on a plane for us. But you guys here have the most banging like cuisine. It's incredible. Like, I've been eating non-stop since I've been here.
Yeah.
So I bet you'll be able to get all these ingredients. You know,
we've got Ras El Hanout.
Yeah, on there the you go. Here. So you can do it.
What do you observe about Australian food and the way our food culture is evolving?
I think you guys do the kind of fresh, healthy thing the best. So I had brunch yesterday and I got this sort of like glorious sunshine colored Buddha bowl with like an array of veggies and quinoa and all sorts of deliciousness, but it tasted really, really good. And I think you guys do that really well. Also like Southeast Asian, like everywhere, like Vietnamese, Thai, Chinese, like it's everywhere. And you guys are doing it really, really well. And you love eating. Like everyone I talk to about food is like, oh my God, eat here, eat here, eat here. Which is like for a chef is great.
Yeah. There is a certain passion for food in Australia, isn't there?
Definitely. Definitely. I think you guys are embracing like food culture from all over the world, and your proximity to Southeast Asia means it's very easy for you just to absorb that in.
Yeah.
But then also like I've seen loads of Greek, I've seen loads of Italian, I've seen Middle Eastern. So you're obviously kind of like, excuse the pun, hungry for it.
how important do you think travel is to this whole idea of food exploration? You're sort of talking about your own experience going to Morocco and seeing insights into different culture and food and bringing that back. Is the travel bit really important?
I mean, for me personally, yes, because when I write a book, what I tend to do is go and just sort of be in that country for as long as I can, hanging out with local people. I always need a translator because I'm terrible at languages, but I try and just remove myself from what I know just to kind of really get under the skin and experience what's kind of going on there. You know, that might not be for everyone. Most people might find that slightly tedious to go and do. I personally like you can see the grin even talking about it, love it. But I think that's a really nice explorative way to discover a new cuisine and really find out new ingredients and what's going on. So for me, it's the travel side is hugely important.
And John, you've got a Christmas recipe for us. It is Moroccan. What do you reckon we should be serving on our Aussie Christmas table this year?
Okay, so I've chosen a recipe called Zalouk, and it's like a really gorgeous smoked aubergine dish. And I thought it would make a really interesting starter. And obviously you guys are like kings of the barbecue. So you can do that. And you basically roast off an aubergine on the barbecue till it goes all soft and smoky and unctuous. And then you mix that into a very sort of simple tomato sauce with a couple of spices, really super easy. Leave it for a few minutes just to kind of all marry together flavor-wise. Serve that with really lovely, salty, crisp halloumi, and you've got this kind of gorgeous, quite sophisticated starter. And I think it's a very nice entry point to anyone for Moroccan food, but it's a very classic Moroccan meze dish, and it's wonderful.
Level of difficulty?
I'd say, 10 being like molecular gastronomy, 1 being making a pot noodle. Do you have pot noodles?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We don't call them that, but yeah, 2 minute noodles.
Yeah. I'd say like a 4 or 5.
Okay. Reasonably
it's
easy.
It's easy, yeah.
Okay. John, that recipe is going up on the website. Thank you very much for that. John Gregory Smith there. Doesn't that make your mouth water? I need to go and have another round of breakfast now. John Gregory Smith, chef, food writer, and Orange Blossom Honey is published by Simon & Schuster.